Numbers chapter 32, verses 28 to 33. The East Bank. The contract. Numbers 32, 28 to 33. Well, the two tribes, the Reubenites and the Gadites, have agreed to the terms that Moses spelled out. Yes, it's going to be as you say. We will keep to our promise. Remember, Moses said, if you keep your promise, you will have the land and everything will be right. But if you don't keep your promise, if you won't go before the Israelites, if you give in too early, if you won't see them settled, if you come home for your own interests, then you will lose all your hopes. Well, they said yes, but Moses is still not content. He wants it, as it were, in a contract. Why is this? Because he's not a man for short-termism. One of the features today in the churches is that believers are short-termism in their thinking. What do I mean? Well, it's all for today, isn't it? Maybe for tomorrow. But what about next week? Next year? 10 years' time? What about 100 years' time? Oh, that's too far away. We can't think about that. What works today? No, my friend, that's not the way of the Christian. That's not the way of the godly man. That's not the way of the believer. Moses wants it down here. Here is an example for us in the Old Covenant. But the same applies in the New. In fact, God is a God who is not short-termism. Let's look at this. Verse 28. Then Moses gave orders about them, that's the two tribes, to Eleazar the priest and Joshua son of Nun, and to the family heads of the Israelite tribes. In other words, he's going for the leaders, but he's going public, and he's making it permanent. He said to them, if the Gadites and the Reubenites do what they've promised, then you let them have the land. They must accept their possession with you in Canaan if they do not. In other words, he's spelling out the terms. If they keep the promise, then make sure they have the land on the east side. If they don't keep their promise, if they don't go on with their keep their word, then bring them back into Canaan. Don't allow them to have this. Now, that may mean fighting. It may mean struggles. It may mean difficulties. It would. But we must do it, said Moses. He would not live to see it, you remember. He would not live to see the fulfillment of this. But he sets it down publicly now and permanently. He's preparing the ground for the coming generation and the generations which follow. He's setting it down. He's setting it out. He's making it clear in a permanent and public form. The promise you've made and the punishment you deserve, the conditions and the terms, the small print are all there for us. The consequences, he's thinking of, you see, is always consequences. The believer must get this in his mind. We make decisions today. We introduce novelties in the church. We get this idea. We work this scheme out. We make this idea. We bring this in. What about the long term of it? What's the effect of it? And if we make covenants and if we make agreements, they must be binding. And it's all Godward here. There are too many references to show it. Let me just read two to you, 29 and 32. Before the Lord, before the Lord. It's all before the Lord throughout this passage. And so it comes that the Gadites and the Reubenites, and then verse 33, the half-tribe of Manasseh, they're brought into it too. They've conquered some of the land there. So it's 2.5 tribes now. So he's spelling it out for the 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. But he's also spelling out for the 9.5 tribes, the half-tribe of Manasseh and the others on the West Bank. And this is the way that he is setting it out for Israel. Now, as I say, too many believers just live for today. They think that Christianity, shall we call it that, started yesterday, and it's all around them, and it's all now, and it's here and now. I mean, the world lives like this. It's all now, isn't it? We want it now. We don't want to wait for it. We don't want to think about the consequences. Let's just bring it in and do it. But Moses is trying to get Israel, making Israel, think about the consequences, the long term. Let me raise this a bit. It's a good job. God is long term. It's a good job, isn't it? That God keeps his word. When God makes a promise, you can absolutely bank on it. When God gives a warning, don't you play with it. Unbeliever, are you listening? When God gives you a promise, inviting you, urging you, pressing you, pleading with you to come to Christ, and urging you to come and giving you the assurance that he will receive you, believe him and come. When you hear, as you do in the gospel, that Christ is coming back to judge the world, is appointed unto men once to die and after this the judgment, don't fool with it. Don't say, ah, well, perhaps he won't do it. It's coming. Christ is coming again. That day is coming. God keeps his word. He says what he means, and he means what he says. Unbeliever, face it. Think of the long term, not just for the next 5 years either, 10 years. Think of eternity. And the same goes for me as a believer. This is what I have to think of. I appeal to the elders of the churches. Think of the things you're introducing, what they will do in the long term. Think of all these things. These are the things that Moses spells out here, and he lays it down, even though he will not live to see it. But God is a God who gives his word and keeps it in the long haul. Let me just read Isaac Watts' hymn on this sort of subject. 'Twas by an order from the Lord, the ancient prophet spoke his word. His spirit did their tongues inspire, and warmed their hearts with heavenly fire. Yes, tremendous power in the day of their preaching. The works and wonders which they wrought confirmed the messages they brought. Wonderful. Now the next stage. The prophet's pen succeeds his breath to save the holy words from death. Isaiah 30 verse 8, for example. God said to Isaiah, they won't listen to you now, perhaps we'll write it down. Make the coming generations read it. Great God, mine eyes with pleasure look on the dear volume of thy book. That's where the law is written. That's where the prophets are written. That's where the gospel is written. That's where the apostolic letters are written. Great God, mine eyes with pleasure look on the dear volume of thy book. There my dear, there my Redeemer's face I see, and read his name who died for me. His kindest thoughts are here expressed, able to make us wise and blessed. The doctrines are divinely true, fit for reproof and comfort too. Now this is the punchline, this verse. Let the false raptures of the mind be lost and vanish in the wind. Here I can fix my hope secure. Listen, this is thy word and must endure. This is thy word and must endure. Moses is doing that in this small way for Israel over the East Bank. God does it throughout his word from Genesis to Revelation. God says what he means. He means what he says. This is thy word and must endure. Unbeliever, heed it. Believer, heed it. May we all act upon it for Christ's sake. Amen.